Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild time.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna get.
Welcome into another piping hot triple fire emoji episode of the Podcastianos. I am Jordan Hall, and I am joined as always by a man with an impeccable sense of style. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you tonight, old chum?
I am crisp and starched, ready for any kind of formal podcasting, formal occasion.
I'd actually like to see the instance that would be formal podcasting.
You know, with a monocle and a top hat.
Looking like the Mr. Peanut.
Oppressing the plebs. That's my style.
So big news on our corner of the internet, which if we're being honest, is a really odd corner of the internet where it's mostly just funny things, animals, and stuff related to the Tigers. That I would say that's our corner. But Homeboy was spotted in the crowd at the royal wedding wearing a Detroit Tigers polo.
Yes.
Is this like representing to an extreme? Like, what's going on here? How is that his option?
Here's my theory. The guy's like, all right, we're going to England and we're going to see a lot of, you know, this is a historical event. He's looking through his closet. What do I have that's old and English? Old English D. Yeah, it fits. It's perfect. Very apropos.
I like the idea that he was actually he's not American. He was just there in England and wanted to go to the wedding. And he's like, crap, I don't have any clothes. So he hit the old Goodwill. And that's just what was hanging there. And all of a sudden, you know, he got the Tigers polo for $2 because it had a little pink sticker on it. And he was good to go.
Stop. Although I think Tigers gear is classy. It plays almost anywhere. Doesn't it? I've heard that the Tigers home uniform is as close as you can get to formal wear in a ball game. It looks sharp. It's classy.
I'd actually now, agree with that. Yeah.
He was wearing a polo, but do you wear white pants often?
I can't say that I do.
unless you're play for the Tigers or you're a golfer, you're not a man wearing white pants a lot.
No, I have white shorts, but it's just not quite the same if it doesn't go all the way down, I would say.
It's not the same if it doesn't go all the way down. You're right.
Speaking of, so you were talking about how formal the white home jersey is. I actually have a job interview tomorrow. Do you think that I should go in my jersey? Could I borrow your Quentin Berry jersey real quick for the interview?
Well, I mean, you don't want to pay you too much and have so many expectations right away. I mean, you want to keep it, you know, level. So I don't know, maybe an inch jersey.
Yeah. I have a Puffin collared shirt. I think I'll probably wear that.
Do you own any Tigers jerseys?
I actually don't. I take that back. So I went through a phase where I was ordering a lot of jerseys from China, which were, of
Cheapsky.
Questionable validity. I have a few of those. I actually have an Avila jersey that I got signed, which is cool, except for the fact that it is Alex Avila.
Stop. Are these clearly Chinese? They're clearly substandard.
Yes.
Clothing.
The Avila one is about as close to legit as I've gotten. I have a Verlander one that is definitely not legit. I want to say that I had a Prince Fielder one back in the day that was definitely not legit. So I guess it just depends on your definition of Tigers jersey. But all the words are spelled right, which, I mean, how much good. Better you can you hope for than that?
Okay, back to it. Puffin shirt. Yes, continue.
That's probably what I'm going with for the interview tomorrow. You know, put the sport coat on over the puffin shirt. So it brings us this week's leadoff question. What would you, if you were in the United Kingdom for the special event, have worn to the royal wedding?
You know, personally, to tell the truth, I probably would have kept it real simple. You know, maybe a nice dark. It's a formal. It's a classy affair, right? Mm-hmm. I'm wearing just a nice dark suit. That's all I hope. Did you see Beckham?
Beckham looked good.
He looked like a train conductor. Or something.
To be fair,
and maybe a vest. Beckham, I like the vest look. Yeah.
All right. So you're vacationing in England, and you're busting out a full-on suit to go down to Buckingham Plaza. Or wherever it was.
Well, no, I guess if I'm just spectating the crowd, I'm just wearing my normal.
Okay, so
gear.
So that would be like if you were in attendance in the church or wherever they got married. That's when you're going suit. Yeah. Okay.
If I'm just spectating the carriage going by, you know, you're lucky if I have a shirt on at all.
Speaking of, my first option was a tuxedo t-shirt. Because, I mean, it's the best of both worlds. But my second option was actually birthday suit. I mean,
there you go.
It's a different kind of suit.
You wouldn't wear like a piratey shirt with the frilly sleeves in honor of your show?
A puffy shirt, yeah. No. I to quote Jerry Seinfeld, I don't want to be a pirate.
Brilliant.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. The Gmail account, if you want to send us an email, which we have an email for this week, so don't let me forget to read that one out because it's not
sleeping on the
questions.
Email.
It's podcastianos@gmail.com, and we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. If you like the show, please leave us a review. It's a really good way to help us find new listeners and for new listeners to find us. And write something funny in it. We'll read it out.
We're not asking you for any money. Don't send us money. If you appreciate the show, give to your favorite charity.
Yeah, I mean, that works too. That works.
Or you can send us money. We'll probably take it.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So I thought about just like copy and pasting the audio from this section on last week's show and skipping right to your beef of the week. But I thought, no, we owe them 15 minutes of dedicated Tigers talk.
Absolutely.
So you know the drill by now. Tigers had a pretty nondescript week, slightly below 500, lost a few games late, and still are 2.5 games out of first place.
It's crazy how bad this division is. This week felt... It started so hopeful, and it ended those two out of the three last games in Seattle seemed so painful. Like we won the first game in Seattle, and it was a textbook win. That was Thursday night. Strong pitching, strong bullpen unfolded just how you would imagine. It was so great. And then you had Friday night. We're ahead 4-0. Midway through the game, and you're like, yes, this is happening. We can rise to the top of this crap division. And Fulmer is Fulmering. He's cruising.
He really was.
And all of a sudden he kind of shows a little vulnerability. There's two kind of hits back to back. Okay, they pull him. Then Saupold comes in and he gives a bunch of hits, one down the line, and all of a sudden we're down 5-4. And despite our reputation, we did not scrap back in that game. We did not compete to the end.
Even behind our manager Gardenhire, who's known
for
inspiring comebacks.
Yeah. Then what would it be? Saturday night. We lose two to seven. Paxson was amazing. Okay, I'm not even bitter. I don't even feel bad about losses like that. Same thing when we lost to the Indians by 6 runs. I'm not even upset. But then on Sunday afternoon, Liriano is throwing a gem. He's no hitting them through six and a third,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a 2-run lead. It's lining up. We get all the way to the last inning. And we have our closer coming in. And here comes Green. And he has the batter in an 0-2 count. And you're a little afraid because one of the strikes was a bomb. Foul. And you're like, okay, 0-2 count. Just don't give him anything too good. And he hangs a breaking ball right down the middle. I mean, it had hit me all over it. And bang, gone. And then a few innings later, you know, it's over. Those are the types of losses that drive me absolutely nuts. And I kind of resonated with, you know, the M Live commenter, angry below the line fan, because I was so upset at these losses that I thought should have been wins.
Yeah, I was actually when Shane Green blew it, I got really upset because, I mean, you know me, I've liked Shane Green for a long time, and I thought to myself, he is so bad, how does he keep doing this to us? I actually looked it up. He hasn't been that terrible. I feel like it's just kind of your classic closer, the last thing that happens is what sticks out. He's only actually blown 3 saves this year, which for a closer these days, like, that's actually not terrible.
Is it? I feel like the blown ones are notable and memorable.
Yeah, when he's blown up, he's blown up. But I mean, I think that's how closers tend to be. I don't, you know, when he
we
took
don't
over,
have any choices either. No. I mean, we have no choice.
Joe is the other option, and you know, he's already on pace. I think I read he's on pace to pitch 90 times this year. Ideally, it would be less than that. So if we could if we could keep it below 90, that would be helpful.
And what are you going to do? Flip flop those two guys? I mean, how much does that really get you?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So, yeah, I just raged about our week a little bit. But like you said at the intro of this segment, a little below 500, it is who we are.
Yeah. So why don't we jump right in to somebody who didn't contribute to this week's malaise? And that, of course, is our future Hall of Famer, our big fella, Miguel Cabrera. He's been out and he's had a little bit of time to run his mouth. Why don't you catch us up on all that the big fella has said and then we can jump into it?
Yeah, this came as kind of the news, the little bit of excitement. So I'm just going to. This is Evan Woodbury's article, our friend Evan, and I'm just going to kind of read what he wrote and then read the quote. Evan writes, Miguel Cabrera won't be back on the field until he's completely ready. In a brief interview Tuesday that ranged from jocular to intense, the Tigers slugger said he didn't get any credit for playing hurt in 2017, and he has no plans to rush back in 2018. Start quote. I went through that last year, so I don't want to do the same thing, he said. Nobody appreciates you when you play hurt, so I'm going to take my time and play when I'm good. I played hurt a lot of years here in Detroit. They don't appreciate that. When you are doing bad, they crush you. They crush you. They say you're bad. You should go home. You don't deserve anything. You're old. I say, okay, I'm done playing hurt. Now I take my time. That's the quote. So a couple of the beat reporters said this was a little bit playful, but they felt comfortable reporting this too. Like, this is serious enough. So, Jordan, what do you make of this?
What I make of this is that the last, 6 years of this contract is going to be very painful. I think we're going to develop some sort of antagonistic relationship between the fan base and Mickey. But here's the thing. In some ways, he is right. Because when he plays hurt, he's terrible. Like, he has a long track record of not being very good when he plays through injury. All we ever say is, you know, you're our best player. You're our most valuable player. When you're hurt, take some time off, get yourself right, and then come back. Don't let this thing drag out, you know, while you're injured. Just stop.
Right. Like, he wants credit. Yeah, he wants credit for playing hurt, and the fans aren't giving him that. And it's kind of like, Well, duh. Maybe your manager wants you out there. I don't. Maybe you feel like some pressure from your teammates. But no, we would rather have a replacement player out there. For instance, in this case, Hicks, who's actually playing very well.
He is in fuego. For sure. Yeah,
put a healthy man in there until you are completely hurt, and then you can dominate again. Yeah, we don't appreciate you playing hurt. That's true, Miggy.
Because you're actively hurting the team. Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, it's not like we're upset with him, I don't think. There's no antagonism. I mean, we love him. We think he's the greatest player. He's a Hall of Famer. He mashes for us, all those things. But I don't get why he thinks he deserves a gold ribbon for dragging his broken butt out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you understand that part?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I completely don't. I mean, here's the deal. Dude's making $30+ million until 2024. Like, I know that it's nice to be loved, but there's your appreciation. Like, you are getting paid loads of money, way more than you deserve at this point of your career. You are given a lifetime achievement contract to, you know, to play through your broken down years that we could tell were coming, just because of what he's done for this city and for this team. There's your appreciation. Like, I don't know if he thinks that Tigers fans and Tigers beat reporters have been tough on him. Like,
we
don't do that. Like, we get pissed on the internet, but is anybody adding Miguel Cabrera? Like, no, we just yell at each other and call each other stupid for not valuing war enough. I mean, that's what Tiger Twitter does.
Well, and I still clearly remember when his contract extension was announced, or he got the phone call from his agent that they've come to a deal. And he's squealing and dancing and partying with his friends and rejoicing over this new contract. Yeah, that's the club's part of this bargain. But the other part of the bargain is, yeah, you're a player for our club for a long time. I mean, there's give and take. And I hate to say, part of it is dealing with stupid fans. That's just part of the professional job. These aren't high school or NCAA kids, right? Now, I also think fans have no right to be a-holes.
They
do not. They do not. And I think a lot of people give Cabrera a lot of love. But, okay, on both sides, just chill. It's not so serious. And I think he was kind of playful about it. I don't think he's super chapped. You know, Cabrera, he can get a little surly every once in a while.
But on the exact other hand, you say a lot of people give him extra stick. I think a lot of people give him extra leeway because he is our – you know, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame wearing a Tigers hat. Honestly, I think that kind of evens out, where he just has a similar ride as most major league players as far as that goes. Just here's what it is. When you're hurt, tell somebody and then wait till you're healthy again. Just do what 99% of big league players do and you'll be fine. It's not like when he comes back, he's not going to have a spot. You're Miguel Cabrera. Like, I mean,
and also, like, they're not trumpeting, like, they're keeping it a secret. Like, oh, I'm brave because I'm keeping it a secret. I don't want to get to the news. I'm pushed through and then I play bad. So there's this, like, double standard of, oh, I'm playing hurt and they don't give me the appreciation for it. But you're also not telling anybody and playing through it. Like, this is weird.
Yeah. And to be honest, it feels to me like a hefty percentage of this is just drama related to losing. Like, if we were winning, none of this would be a thing. All of a sudden, we're not super great anymore. And to be honest, we're not the same team that Miggy signed for when he signed that lifetime achievement contract. Things haven't exactly gone the way that maybe he was imagining. So, I don't know.
I will tell you what. I think we're kind of done with this topic. Going back to the Tigers in general, expectations are a hell of a drug. Like, when the team wins like two or three or four games in a row, you're like, oh my gosh, we're mediocre. This is awesome, because you think you're going to be so bad, but you win a couple games. You know, I think I saw it posted, like, we're off to the worst start that we've had in the last 10 years. And sure, Jack doesn't feel that way.
We're the happiest we've been.
And I mean, fans are going nuts for this team. You know, oh, we compete, scrappy and all this. Well, guess what? We're not winning a lot of games, really. Yeah. So, but I'm buying in. It's like I'm telling you, it's a drug. Low expectations, and you just get a modicum of success, and you're like, strong.
We found the secret to life.
I'm telling you, don't have any expectations.
Maybe that's what people should do for us.
Hey, this is very Eastern religion, right? You know, the Buddha would say you need to detach yourself from, you know, your desires.
That is what the Buddha would say.
That's what I read on a Chinese restaurant menu one time anyway.
So let's move on to the topic that I teased greatly on last week's show. I'd like to dive a little deeper into the well that is Jacoby Jones. Are you comfortable with that? You know,
sure.
Okay. So tell me something. He seems to have crossed some sort of threshold where he's been accepted by the fan base as like one of our guys. Like he is just – he's a Tiger. He's a good player.
He's a big league Tiger.
He is a big league Tiger. Is that fair to you or for you?
Yeah, in this player climate, in this team climate, I mean, you see the strikeouts creeping back up a little bit, which is the main beef that we had with him last year. So he can't slip back into some bad habits. But if he stays away from that, I mean, yeah, he's a big league player. He's toolsy. He can do all the kinds of things that you want out of a player. He's going to run the bases hard for you. Maybe not always super smart, but hard. He's going to make you good defensive plays. You know, he's going to hit the ball with some power. You just got to watch the plate discipline a little bit, right?
Okay, I'm going to throw some stats at you. And I'm going to start this discussion saying I really like Jacoby. I have for a long time. And then say that I still have some questions. Okay, so he reached a batting average high point on April 25th. He was hitting .304. That was approximately 1 month ago. It's the 21st of May right now. Yep. Since then, care to take a guess what he's hitting?
Probably like .190.
He's hitting a .74. Okay. He has 19 hits in 109 at-bats. 31 strikeouts in 109.
Yeah, which, see.
That is getting closer to his career average. But here's the thing, and this is why I find him to be so fascinating. He has 19 hits. 11 of them are for extra bases.
Right, right.
It's – I mean, in an era where they're devaluing the base hit as much as they are, and extra base hits and home runs are what's driving the game, does a – what is he at, like 230, 220 hitter, when the majority of those hits are going for extra bases, does that play up in some capacity?
Yeah, I mean, I think he gets some additional credit war for decent defense, right, and base running.
I mean, I would think so. I don't know. It just seems like the high average, great plate approach Jacoby Jones that we saw for the majority of April is a bit of a flash in the pan. I think we're starting to see just what he is. Like we're reaching the age where I don't know that there's a whole lot more maturation that's going to happen. But if he is a 240 hitter who plays a great, you know, eventually he'll play a great center field. Like you say, he has the tools, the pop, the speed on the base paths. I mean, you can't say he's a building block, but he is a. I feel like we have this discussion all the time. You can have a couple glove first guys, especially when they add in the speed and the occasional pop, you know, if they're hitting 230, 240, 250, you know, so be it. You know, you can have a couple of those guys, especially in your premium defensive positions, shortstop, center field, catcher, but you can't have it when, I mean, we have four or five guys in the lineup that are that same way. You have to assume that when we get better, we're going to have more six in the lineup, and then you can afford to have a guy who is almost like a lightning rod, a dynamo, somebody who can do something for you, kind of make one game-changing play, either with the bat or in the outfield. I don't know. I've gone back and forth so many times on do I like Jacoby as far as, you know, a player or not. I think I'm starting to settle into that he is useful and will always frustrate us.
Yep. He's a big league player, certainly for our club. That's not that great. But having some of these guys exposed. You know, Machado's back to earth. Jacoby is back to earth. Iggy's been hitting well. But it really shows that we miss Cabrera and Candelario.
Yes.
I mean, now you have a gap in your lineup, and you're trying to patch it with the Cosmos of the world. And that might be cute for a while, but that doesn't work to win a lot of games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need those guys back.
And to be honest, like, you can't expect John Hicks to continue doing what he's done. He isn't this good. Like, that's – he's really helped paper over some cracks.
And Nico's back to earth, right? I mean
– actually, Nico's – I mean – I don't know how good Nico is, but he's been relatively consistent over the last, 10 days?
Yeah, has he? I'm sure. He's been a cool 250.
Yeah, he's consistently inconsistent. Right. Yeah.
But he's got four bombs. I guess I didn't realize he had that kind of power.
I mean, four bombs really isn't. I mean, I guess it's in limited at-bats, but four bombs at this point in the season really isn't that
in 96 plate appearances, I mean, I don't know.
It could be worse.
Well, before tonight, he had the same number as Victor and Nick, but now that's changing quickly.
Yeah, I mean...
Spoiler alert.
So our buddy Jacob Skronik asked us, did you see this about the season total of war between Nico, Iglesias, and Dixon?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
So in the Hot Takes Fire, preview episode, I said that Nico would end up with a higher war than Iglesias or Dixon, and you said I was nuts, and I said, am I? Is it so crazy? And so...
Did you look it up?
I did look it up. Right now, Nico is equidistant. Iglesias is ahead of him, and Dixon is beneath him as far as war goes. So I'm 50%. And let's be honest, Iglesias is going to hit a cool patch, and Nico very well may just push him.
I guess it's more possible than I initially thought. If Iggy didn't have this little hot spell of hitting... I mean, it would have been neck and neck.
Yeah, we probably should mention this, but I believe Iglesias is over 300 for the last month. I mean, that's not an insignificant amount of time. He really isn't all that fun to talk about. So we don't.
Yeah, we don't.
Okay.
What else we got?
So let's move on. Last topic before we get to your beef of the week. It's sneaking up on draft season. Obviously, neither of us are what one might call draft experts, but we're going to talk about it anyway. We have the number one pick, and the smart money is on us to take Auburn right-hander Casey Mize at the top. Here's the thing about Mize. You may not know this, but he is a big, projectable right-hander that hails from the SEC. So that is a Tigers pitcher.
And our pool of reporters is reporting on this guy like he belongs to the team already. Like they're following every pitch. Oh, he kind of had a bad inning. He's getting more press than some of our minor league guys right now. And like every inning,
to be fair, once he enters the system, he's probably going to be our second, third, fourth, whatever best prospect. So he probably should get more press than some of our current minor leaguers.
So I don't follow this super close. To me, it's a little like college football recruiting. Like there's just too many ingredients out there. I just have no idea. But the other guy would be Nick Madrigal is kind of the guy who's probably the hitter, but he's kind of a little shaver.
And the other name I've heard is Bart, the catcher from Georgia Tech. What's your philosophy here? Like, obviously, at the top of the draft, it has to be, best player available. But we are so incredibly pitching top heavy. There are, with the aside of maybe Kristen Stewart, there's no bats in the organization that make you, and I guess Isaac Paredes too, there's no bats that really are threatening to become impact guys. I don't know. And we're so pitching heavy. But you can never have too much pitching. I go back and forth.
Yeah. No, if the best player is the pitcher, you take the pitcher. It does not matter. You just cannot predict this far ahead of time who's going to be awesome and who's not. You do your best. If it's the pitcher, you take the pitcher. The possession that we have of three or four guys who we think are studs makes zero difference. If it's the pitcher, you take the pitcher. I'm convinced.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I do think Nick Madrigal has the best career of the three. He's not Altuve because he doesn't have that same amount of power. But I've seen some Trey Turner comparisons. It wouldn't suck to have our own Trey Turner. But, you know.
I mean, Madrigal appeals to me because I'm just a big fan of a cappella Baroque music. So
I'm just going to take a second and let that one sit in or settle in for the listeners.
Like, everybody likes a nice madrigal, right?
Okay. Nice. Speaking of that, let's move on to your beef of the week.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Man, I got to tell you, Jordan, I'm powering through this podcast because, as you know, I like to play some disc golf, and it was either that or working in the yard, and I have poison ivy. And this morning I woke up with a couple spots. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I got a couple spots. I'll put some cream on. And this afternoon I have serious discomfort. And I don't know what happened, but evidently the oils from the poison ivy I got on my hands or something. And I have it on my ankles, my arms, my face, like where I wiped my face, and also, you know, where I washed myself. So I have it in
your particular region?
In all the nether areas. And I'm just, you know, not digging that very much. And so poison ivy, like, why is poison ivy a thing? And then the experts are like, oh, learn to identify poison ivy. It's glossy and has three leaves. You know what else is glossy and has three leaves? Like a million other things in the woods. Like, I'm just going to go in the woods and I'm going to watch where I step and study all the foliage here. You just won't be able to go anywhere. You do nothing but study leaves. Like, I'm trying to do my thing. I can't identify poison ivy, sumac, and or oak that quickly. It's frustrating. And now I itch and now I'm ornery about it. So I got the industrial strength cream on right now. It seems to be helping a little bit, but I'm hurt, man.
You do realize there is an alternative to poison ivy, right? And that is not going outside. You can live your life inside like I do. It's nice in here.
Yeah. I can just watch disc golf on YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, hire somebody to mow my lawn and do the, you know,
you should leaves. Just have the turkeys mow your lawn.
Stupid turkeys.
So that's
the end of the beef. It's just poison ivy in general. I'm itchy and angry.
So pretty much your average Monday evening.
Okay, I'm really not this bitter of a person.
No, you
I'm actually a pleasure I'm a pleasure to be with. Sometimes.
Is that what the straw poll said?
I'm convincing myself.
So it's been quite a while since I've had, you know, a story from the highways and byways of this fair land. But this week,
yeah.
I have a new story from things that I saw on the side of the road while running. So for my typical run, I'll go between 7, 8, 9 miles, somewhere in that range. Time frame, usually about an hour. So that's what we're looking at for your framework of this story. So on a run this week, I usually run kind of like on the side of a I don't know. It's a 55-mile-an-hour rural highway. It's semi-busy. It's kind of a back road that is used by a lot of locals. So over the course of this one run, I see two dudes driving with no shirts on. Like, I pass them coming. Mm-hmm. Both in big pickup trucks, both with goatees, both no shirts. Neither men I would describe as somebody who would be encouraged to remove their shirt. How do you get to the point where you're comfortable driving with no shirt? Have you ever driven with no shirt on?
Do you consider inside your vehicle to be a public or a private space?
If someone can see you, that is a public space. No doubt about it. If my eyes have to be assaulted by seeing you with no shirt on, that's a public place.
I think you have every right in the world to be in your own vehicle without a shirt on.
But it's common.
You know, maybe pants. We're not going to be like a Lions coach, right? We're not. We're going to keep the pants on, but shirt's optional.
To be fair, I don't know that he was wearing pants. You know, you can only see the top half of a person in the truck. But so here's the thing. Just wear a shirt. Many people have several shirts. Just wear one of them.
Hey, you know, how do you feel about no shirt at a baseball game? Like at the, in the Chicago Cubs, they have the bleacher creatures or the bleacher guys. It's hot. It's 90s plus degrees out in summer. Boom, take your shirt off.
It is absurd to not wear a shirt in public. The only exception would be a beach and a pool. It is designed for you to go shirtless. Other than that, wear a shirt.
If it's 90 degrees out in the greater Traverse City area and you're going for a run, you're not going shirtless?
No. Well, I mean, that's practical. You got to have something to catch the sweat.
Oh, okay.
But no.
I feel like there's a lot of shirtless runners.
Yeah. And they should be ashamed of themselves.
All right.
So that's things that I saw on the side of the road while running.
Hello. This is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
No shirts.
Let's move on to the Twitter questions. Actually, let's start with an email question.
Ooh.
All right, Eric, Phil, while I pull this up.
The email address is podcastianos@gmail.com. Gmail is a popular email program provided by Google.
Okay, you can stop filling. I have it up.
Good, phew.
All right, this email comes from Paul. Glad to hear we don't need a Twitter account. I am not old, just old school. wondering, of the big 4.5 pitching prospects, which is most likely to boom and which is most likely to bust? As a side note, would being a quality reliever be considered a bust?
No, I don't think if it's a quality reliever, I don't think it's a bust. I don't know.
Oh, also, bonus question. Which of the four, five, including Funkhauser, is most likely to be in the bullpen, like major league bullpen first? Okay, so let's tackle the first one. Which of the big 4.5 is most likely to boom?
I like Manning.
I would agree with that. I think he has the highest upside.
I think he's got the highest upside. Yep.
Most likely to bust.
The half is Funkhauser.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably Funkhauser, I guess. I don't know. He's probably the oldest, though, isn't he?
I gotta be up. Yeah, somewhere in there. I think the most likely to bust is also Manning.
I'm tracking.
Feel like with Fieto and Franklin Perez, they have relatively low ceilings but relatively low floors. I think that they're most likely going to be very good 2 through 4 starting pitchers in the big leagues. I don't think either of them have true ace, stuff. And I think they're probably going to, most likely going to settle somewhere in there. Whereas I do think Manning has top end of the rotation stuff. Obviously, we could ask Emily about this more.
Yeah, Emily would know more.
But and then Burroughs, I feel like he doesn't get as much press. It's really hard to know exactly what Burroughs is working with.
I think he's been pretty steady. Yeah. He might be the guy who appears in Detroit first.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, I mean, he's the furthest along. I mean, it would make sense.
He's an Erie. Yeah. Perez, I would have said Perez, but he has not been pitched. I mean, he's hurt, I believe.
I still don't think he's made an appearance yet.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
hopefully we covered your email question.
Yeah. The thing with Perez is his pitch ability is so advanced that I think once he starts moving, he's going to move fast. But it's hard to tell when exactly that's going to happen.
Yeah, things are kind of lining up, hopefully, for 2020 for us. I think we keep saying 2020. And in this division, who knows? So.
All right, let's get to the Twitter questions. Mark at Crams Tabor. That's the okay. So this one's for you, Eric. You can only take 5 discs with you on a course you've never played. Which are you taking?
I'm taking my putter, which is a classic soft judge. I'm going to take a Thunderbird. I'm going to take a mid-range, an overstable mid-range. It's probably going to be a G-Star Rock 3. I'm going to need something kind of understable. I'd probably take a Stratus, a Discraft Stratus, and then maybe like a Valkyrie.
Yeah.
For a longer distance drive, understable. Like Valkyrie, you can do a lot of things with. Yeah. So that'd probably be what I take.
Samesies.
That's five. That's I get five's a lot.
Or you could stay inside where you don't get poison ivy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good right now because I'm itchy.
All right, next one comes from Anthony Troya. I know Liriano is already as good as gone. If teams are asking about Boyd or Castellanos, would you be willing, like me, to part with them for the right price? I don't think either will be big contributors when it's winning time again.
So I kind of I showed my cards in a previous episode. Boyd, I would trade. Castellanos, I would keep and extend.
I completely agree with that entire summation. We always agree, but I feel like we're agreeing a lot tonight. The thing with Boyd is it all depends on what you're being offered for him. If you're being offered him as a 2 or a 3, you know, somebody who's essentially established middle of the rotation guy, then you absolutely have to move him. If they're looking at him as a fringe, you know, starting piece, then it makes way more sense to just hang on to him and see what he develops into. I think he's a number 3 major league starting pitcher at this point. I haven't seen anything to suggest otherwise in pushing a year at this point.
Yeah. I mean, Avila has a lot of leverage there.
Yeah. Brett Yoder asks us feelings on Gogurt.
No, I'm a big thumbs down on Gogurt. I actually do like yogurt. I like Greek yogurt a lot, but I will tell you, there's something to me about the psychology of slurping yogurt out of a tube that for me, I just can't do it. I would say no Gurt to the Gogurt.
See, I don't actually dig Gogurt, but if you had Danone Fusion, they're like little thin yogurts that you drink. They're almost like a yogurt smoothie. I was all about those as a kid. Mixed berry all day.
I like thick. I want the Greek yogurt. I like the oats. And I like to put Meyer Bountiful Morning Granola in it. That's what I like.
It helps your innards work so you can make.
Yeah, it doesn't help. Yeah, well, my innards are fine. My outards are not looking too good right now.
JC, not Jay-Z the rapper. J, and then his first or his last initial is C. He asks us.
Good initials.
Chicken fingers or peanut butter sandwich?
Oh, chicken fingers for sure. I don't actively dislike PB&J, but I'll tell you a story. Every year we go down to Guatemala to build houses and stuff, and we eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the whole week for lunch. That's all we eat, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because it's easy to pack and it's not fancy or whatever. I eat peanut butter and jelly for a whole week, and that's the only time of the year I eat it. I never have it any other time. So it's like cemented in my mind for like what we do there. So
it's kind of cool. Little story about me that you probably won't find super surprising. I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for lunch from 6th grade through 12th grade. Real talk.
Isn't that kind of weird?
No, it's not weird.
It's consistent. I feel like the guy who wears the same thing to work every day.
I don't wear the same thing to work every day, but I do have shorts that are my Monday shorts that are my Tuesday shorts, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, of course.
Come on, you're not wearing the same shorts more than once in a row?
No.
What?
Who does that? You wear something and then you wash it. That's how you stay clean and not smell.
Stop it. So you don't wear the same pair of jeans 2 days in a row?
No. I wear them and then I wash them.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not some sort of deviant.
No, you can get pair of jeans.
Do you wear underwear?
No, of course you're changing your underwear every day and t-shirts every day, but jeans are different.
How? Is it a contact thing? Because, you know, beneath your underwear, the jeans are making contact with your legs.
It's fine. You can wear jeans more than once in a row.
You're some sort of deviant. All right, so let's move on.
Stop. Fine.
Ryan Blevins asks us, how long do the Tigers blue ball us by hovering around three games out of first place?
I don't know. Eventually, this is going to stop, and we're going to sink, and the Indians are going to remember they're good. But this might go on for another month. Could, possibly.
See, it's not really the Tigers that are going to be blueballing us. It's the Indians that are blueballing us.
Yeah.
Like, we are not doing anything to stay in this division.
We're not.
We are at their mercy. Once they decide to start playing like the Indians, we're gonna sink. So that's the situation there. His next question, how many rounds is too many rounds to pay attention to the MLB draft?
Two.
Yes, absolutely. If you make it to the second round, kudos. You have more patience than I do.
You know what I do? I wait for the first round to be done, and then I look over the names of the guys that we took. I don't look at any other team. I'm just looking for interesting names and interesting stories.
You're looking for names you can make some sort of pun about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously.
I want the next Ulrich Bojarski or Guido Knutson is what I want. I love these guys with just uniqueness.
Realistically speaking, in this year's draft, as soon as we take Casey Mize, I most likely will change the channel.
I probably will not have it on.
Okay, next one. At Nicholas Haller asks us, ghosts, real or not?
Ghosts?
Ghosts, yeah.
No, not real. Hmm. Unless you're talking about Casper Wells is real, I guess.
I was wondering where you're going with that, because Casper from the movie is not real.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not big into the paranormal.
All right, next one. Ben Decker asks us, is Buck Farmer worth keeping around because he's so inconsistent in most of his outings so far, and it doesn't seem like he's improving?
Oh, here, we'll just reach into our bucket of good relievers and replace Buck with one of the good ones. wish we would have thought of that sooner. Gosh, like, what are we going to do? Go to the good reliever bin at Meijer. Come on, we're doing the best we can.
Don't even get me started on Meijer.
Buck's
first of all.
Trying hard.
But Buck is good. He's good to hang around. I don't know. The thing is you know exactly what you're getting with the Buck Farmer experience. He's going to come in. He's going to walk a couple guys. He's probably going to give up a run, and he's going to look absolutely dominating while doing that. Like, that's what Buck does. He has great stuff. And he gets maybe not quite as good of results as one would think from someone with that great stuff.
We'd love to have seven Joe Jimenezes, but we don't.
We do not.
So you get you sprinkle in a few Saupolds and Farmers. That's what we got.
Ashley McCrandall asked us, any opinion on Miggy's comments about the Marlins and wanting to go back there and being stuck here? A little bit different take than the one that we gave earlier.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly accurate. It was one of the Marlins ex-executives joked about Cabrera being stuck in Detroit, I think is how it was. And there's just not a lot of news there, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean,
we covered the Miggy thing.
As bad as we are, I'm sure he would rather be here than in Miami, because that's an even bigger mess.
They party all night. Until the break of dawn.
Okay, Pitbull.
On the beach. This was Will Smith.
Yeah, I know. Billy Robinson asks us, what should the Tigers offer in a trade package to acquire Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
There's no way we could get Vlad Jr. We could offer our entire big league roster. We probably wouldn't get him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things that you have to take into consideration, like, take away the name. He's just a regular baseball player. What is he? He's still a pretty amazing young talent. Like,
there's such a premium on those guys now that are cheap and cost controlled and you think are going to be studs. Like, you cannot get them away from another team.
And we
have Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber, yeah.
Gleyber. the Yankees weren't going to get rid of him for anybody.
Except Michael Fulmer. I kid.
We wouldn't have got him, even for Fulmer.
Our buddy Roger Martin, at RogCast81, who we are going to watch the Whitecaps game with on, I don't know, sometime in June. He asks, are Lunchables considered in the child food category? If so, I enjoy them quite a bit.
Now, no adult should be getting a Lunchable, because you can make your package your own Lunchable elements and have a better experience, a better meal, and pay less.
But
and
would have, you? Like,
sure, just put some crackers, cheese slices, get some salami or whatever, ham chunks. Make your own Lunchable.
I don't know. I there's just something magical about the Lunchable.
You like the sterile, generic plastic packaging.
I kind of
peel that sucker back like it's a.
I kind of do. I can't say that
I've
eaten.
It's like a kit of surgical tools. You pull that wrapper back.
And then they give you the little bit of candy for being a good boy. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're such a child.
David Bratt asked us, do you really get enough questions for an all-listener question show? We've never tried. I would assume
no. Try.
If so, what player can I steer my son toward getting a T-shirt or jersey that I won't regret in 12 to 18 months? I thought that was a really good question.
Candelario. I'm telling you, Candy. Candy's a, he's a cool guy. He's a nice guy, humble. He can hit. I'd get a Candy jersey for sure.
I mean, like the obvious answers here are Miggy and Zimmerman, because they ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of played. Get somebody young and younger and interesting.
Also, get a Blaine Hardy shirt. Support our boy Blaine.
Yeah.
Yep. David also asked us, would Lucky Charms be better with just the marshmallows and no cereal? We should storm the Tigers' front office with torches and pitchforks if they pick someone other than Mize with the first pick. Should we? Sorry, that's a question.
Oh, should we?
I thought they were unrelated facts. Let's start with the Lucky Charms.
Do you know if you go down to Shipshewana and go to the bulk food store, you can buy an entire bag of just the desiccated marshmallows?
I didn't know that. If I were to take a survey of everyone in my life and think, who would I know that has the most knowledge of Shipshewana, I think you would be who I would pick.
I would be a decent phone friend, I feel like. Casey Mize is probably the choice. But if they pick somebody else, no, you don't need to storm the castle. It could be somebody
else. Feels a bit dramatic.
Yeah.
Next one comes from David Bernier 94, which I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. It looks sure. French. He asked us, trade interest has been reported on Liriano. Should the Tigers trade him while there's interest or wait until later when there's more demand but risk him falling off? If they trade him now, what do you think the return would look like?
I feel like there's a reason why trades aren't made this early. Is because you haven't established the depth of need and the leverage that comes later. I mean, it's very rare. Guys get traded this early. We got to get closer to the deadline.
Yeah, I think it'll do nothing but drive the value up. Yep. As far as what the return would look like, I don't think we should like start dreaming about a Candelario scenario. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be somewhere between the JD deal and the Paredes Candelario deal, where we're not going to hate what we get back, but we're not going to end up with a future, everyday third baseman.
So Dan and Jim were talking about this on the radio, and because Liriano was traded by Toronto last year for a prospect.
Teoscar Hernandez, yep.
Thank you for filling in that in. But they were saying that was a once-in-a-lifetime good-get-steal, amazing swindle situation, and we shouldn't expect that kind of return for Liriano this year.
Yeah, dude can ball, but I don't know that anyone knew really who he was at that point. He just came up and started balling and hasn't stopped. So yeah, I
they got
that.
A little lucky, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
At Ed Miller 19 asks us, and this is a really good one. I was actually going to bring this up in the regular section if nobody had asked up. He said, talk about Tampa's use of Sergio Ramos as a he's referring to Sergio Romo, not Sergio Ramos, is the Real Madrid center back, as an opener. Have you seen this in Tampa? They used Romo twice in a row to get through the first inning against, I believe it was the Angels, heavy right-handed hitting top of the order.
I love this idea.
It is such a good idea.
Be creative. You know, the rules of baseball and like the norms of baseball are not chiseled on stone tablets. Do something creative. I didn't hear about the details, but I did hear about this. It's brilliant, right?
If he is that good against right-handers, you know the best way to get him to face up against all of your right-handers? They're all right there. That's put him at guaranteed inning. Yeah, absolutely.
We think of these baseball players as such delicate, fragile little psychological flowers. Oh, you know, the starter needs to start throwing at 12:51 a.m. or p.m. and all this kind of shenanigans. It's like, come on. Yeah, you can have a little bit of plan for how it's going to unfold. But yeah, start a different guy in the first inning and somebody else in the second inning. It's fine.
I mean, we're going to get to this point where this kind of stuff is happening every day, used by all teams. It just looks like an outlier because only one team in baseball is gutsy enough and innovative enough to actually do it.
I mean, did you see some of the shifts that the Astros played? I mean, there was one guy, Marwin Gonzalez, was on the left who played left field. Everybody else was on the right side of the field. You're going to see more of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't happen if it weren't, you know, analytically based. I mean, there probability says that this is how you should do it. I mean, it's hard to ignore that.
Yeah. Well, we're already seeing more of like best hitters hitting second.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Castellanos hit second for us tonight.
Yeah. I don't see that sticking. But no. I mean, especially when you got Pete Cosma. How do you keep him out of the two spots?
Cosmania.
But Zach Cozart, he was one of the Angels that faced this. This was his quote. It was weird. It's bad for baseball, in my opinion. It's spring training. That's the best way to explain it.
Oh, that is some royal butthurt. Get over yourself.
Yeah. It's not. I don't understand how people think that new and fresh is some way bad for baseball. Baseball is the most traditional game out there. You're never going to lose the tradition aspect of baseball, but adding in some new reasons to watch is never a bad thing.
I love these kind of goofy things. Just this year, the Mets batted out of order. They had the wrong lineup in or whatever. That stuff's great. Do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not us. We shouldn't, but the Mets should.
All right, four more. Let's buzz through these. At Breslin Birds asks us, how do you stay awake for these West Coast games?
All right, the trick is, and here's how I do it. Okay, you know, quarter to 10 kind of rolls around. I'm feeling a little sleepy. I've had a beverage. What you need to do is get a little nap in. Get a little, I like to call it a napitizer or a snore d'oeuvre, you know. Just hit that little sleep in there, and then you kind of wake up. Oh, okay, what's going on? If you miss the first few pitches, fine, and then you're good to go until 1:30.
I'll let you in for a little secret. I go to bed probably usually between 11 and 11:30, and I just go to bed. I watch what I watch.
You're allowed to,
and then I go to bed. You know,
I'm not going to judge you. The thing is, I enjoy it, and sometimes I fall asleep, sometimes I stay awake, but. If the game's on and I'm enjoying it and I don't feel the need to sleep, I'll watch it. I don't mind staying up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in my younger days, my spryer days, I would do it. But you've always just feel miserable the next day. And I ain't about that life.
It's because your body's weak. I don't do the coffee thing, though. I'm not like actively staying awake, but I can usually watch it.
Well, the thing with coffee, if you're committing to coffee at like 11 at night, even when the game's over, you ain't sleeping. At least I am. So at EvanKen95 asked, if you don't like Meijer, why do you shop there? And this is in reference to my tweet on Sunday that I stood in line at Meijer for 24 minutes. Here's the thing. There are other grocery stores. Those other grocery stores cost more money. I don't have many monies, so I shop where the stuff is cheaper. And I have more time than money, apparently, so we shop at Meijer.
Meijer is a classic American supercenter experience. There's not a lot of options.
No,
like you say.
So if you can get into the 12 and under U-check line, you're golden, because there's never a wait for those. But anytime you have to go through and have the people scan your things, I mean, you're committing to the next half hour of your life looking at those rag magazines. I mean, that is at least the Traverse City experience.
See, I don't mind waiting in line a little bit. It gives me a little pause in the day. I can look at my phone, you know. Especially if I'm there by myself, what am I going to do? Hustle to get something that's going to be bothering me some more? No, just enjoy. Take a little break.
All right.
An Aldi in Traverse City?
We do. Yeah, we actually shop. We have an Aldi, Meijer, and we have a Lucky's, which is like a Trader Joe's. We actually hit all three every week because we have different stuff we get everywhere. And plus, Aldi is the cheaper option still. So,
yeah, you're kind of a high maintenance eater. So
yeah, definitely. I got to go everywhere. You know, peanut butter here, jelly here, bread here, chicken tenders here.
Fresh pair of shorts every day. Good grief.
Nick Wisniewski asked, I retweeted a Kanye tweet today. Don't judge. I thought it was profound. Who was the strangest, most unlikely you've ever retweeted?
Lynn? I don't know.
I would love to have seen the tweet from Lynn that you thought was retweet worthy.
Yeah, he's got some gems. As much as I dog on Lynn, I'm not an antagonist. Like,
that is entirely false. You're the definition of an antagonist.
That's the thing. I don't dislike Lynn. I just find him wrong a lot and peculiar a lot
and bombastic even when he's not wrong.
He just thinks he's a thesaurus when he sits in front of his computer or gets his phone. He's like got to drop some eloquence on unneeded, you know, verbosity.
And in my mind he thinks he's impressing us by using all of these words.
Yeah, like he's, you know, Grantland Rice out there. No, just like tell us what we want to know.
And to be fair to you, Nick, I've actually retweeted Kanye a few times. Generally, it's with something sneery on, you know, in the quote tweet. But I mean, Kanye is always good for a chuckle. I'm trying to think. I quote tweet you a decent amount. And you're kind of an odd one. So,
Here's the secret, though. Like if you're making like snarky comments or trying to be a little funny, which I try but don't always succeed, you need like a straight man, right? If you have a comedy duo, there's always a straight man. Well, what you retweet is kind of the straight man that build little quips off.
That's a really good way
of
looking at it, actually. Yeah.
So you need like people kind of giving you straight news or interesting things that are happening.
Yeah,
for you to play off.
Darren Revelle is a perfect one for that.
Yes,
because everything he says is very serious and yet wildly mockable.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, last one is from @tiger_lifer. He asks, my 11-year-old daughter just told me she likes honey mustard more than stadium mustard. Should I leave her at the stadium?
Oh, see, I will consume honey mustard because it's pretty decent. I will not eat yellow mustard. I just won't eat it. I can't. I like my hot dog with ketchup and onions and pickles if I can get them and they look pretty decent, but never mustard. I can't do it.
But
honey mustard's all right.
I like honey mustard. I don't like regular mustard, but I eat my hot dogs plain. I don't like anything on there.
It's because you are a child.
And mustard, like just regular straight up yellow mustard, is the absolute worst.
Yeah, it's filthy. It's gross. Don't eat it.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am @JordanHall23. Eric is @ComericEric. And the show is @PodcastYanos. On Instagram, I am @Jordinio4. PodcastYanos@gmail.com. And we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
Just be nice to me because I'm super itchy and ornery. So, you know, tweet nice things at me. If you could affirm me so I don't gouge my eyes out, that'd be nice. Thank you.
So the fate of your eyes depends on how much affirming tweets you get on Twitter. That's
all right. It's a little bit of a stretch. You should always be nice to me.
Okay.
Whether I have skin irritation or not, I don't need additional irritation.
Okay, let's get out of here. We're over an hour at this point. We will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.